Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text number 6.
Yak Shri Krishna Padamboja Bhajanai Kapilashavan Tenaiva Drishyatametad Anyasmai Shapator Pita.
Only one whose main desire is to worship the lotus feet of Lord Krishna should read this book. Everyone else I warn off with my curse. Shapata. The regular meaning of the word is same as shapa, curse. There is another meaning, like a solemn promise. But I don't think that makes any sense in this verse, to say just solemn promise. Everybody else, I give a solemn promise. Solemn promise of what? Doesn't make any sense. Curse makes sense. So I don't think we can avoid it by appealing to a different meaning of the word. The other meaning doesn't fit. So he curses anyone who isn't. Now, what is exactly that he's demanding? That only the person who is only, this is Bovri, Bhajana Aika Abhilashavan. Well, the Matup is there. It's the one who has, it's not a Bovri. The person who has, it's already an adjective. Only one who has, as his only abhilasha, desire, the bhajana of what? Of Krishna's lotus feet, Shri Krishna's lotus feet. Only someone who wants nothing other than to worship Krishna's lotus feet should look at this book. What to speak of teach it to somebody else, write a commentary, don't even look at it. And if anyone else dares to look at it, I curse him. Because he doesn't specify the curse. What will happen to him? But something bad will happen to him. I explain why he's doing this. I try to give some explanation in the commentary. So we'll wait for that. But let's just understand what he's saying here. Well, who is this? Who's the person? What kind of people are there? What kind of people fit this definition? That they want nothing other than the worship of Krishna's lotus feet. Does that exclude mixed devotees, materialistic devotees? It certainly excludes non-devotees who have no interest. Well, does it exclude devotees of other sampradayas? Opinion? Is he saying that members of other sampradayas shouldn't read this book?
Some people might not be exclusively bent on worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna.
Let's deal with that part. Right. We'll deal with that part second, about the exclusiveness. But go ahead. Because I guess you have to say that to answer the question.
They may have a problem with it being the lotus feet of Krishna rather than the lotus feet of Narayana or somebody else.
Okay, so it's... Well, Lord Chaitanya is liberal about that. You know, he's promoting worship of Radha and Krishna. If someone worships Narayana, he can accept it. Yeah. So in context, I think Narayana can squeeze in. Yes? Nishanthu?
I think like Krishna is might not be directly in this verse referred to Shyamasundara in Vrindavana. Maybe it's just a general mention of the Lord by name Krishna, because it includes all other means. It just means Krishna in a broad sense, not
well. Krishna in a broad sense. We see that use in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah, like that.
Yes.
So those who,
I don't know about Shri Krishna when he had the Shri to it. I don't know if that makes a difference.
So in a broader sense, anyone who is after the lotus feet of the Lord, they are qualified to read this book.
I think so. One thing that's, I think, significant, he doesn't say Radha Krishna. It wouldn't fit in the understoop, but beside that, he doesn't say Radha. So I guess he's allowing those who want to be Krishna's devotees but don't worship Krishna with Radharani. That allows the other sampradayas. And I think Krishna appearing as Narayan is okay too.
Yes.
The Sri Krishna, that's how people refer to Krishna in Mathura. You know, here in Vraja, we just call him Krishna.
But some people, some other Vaishnava sampradayas may have a problem with Jiva Goswami's Krishna Sandarbha, where he's saying Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, and he's going to great length to establish that. They may have a big problem with that.
Well, okay. But Jiva Goswami says you can read the book, and then we'll tell you something when you get to the fourth one. But he's allowing them to read the book. You know, we have our own opinion, and we're going to try to convince you. But at least you're an adhikar, you're allowed to read the book. But you materialists and Mayavadis and maybe somebody else, you shouldn't even look at this book. I'm not sure about mixed devotees or materialistic devotees. I mean, how literally should we take this about having no other desire? I've got other desires, unfortunately, that I shouldn't have even looked at the book. You know, I'm still got materialistic desires. So what am I doing looking at this book?
Yes.
Which means the literature for Paramahamsas.
Yes. It's Paramahamsanam Vedyam.
Yeah.
The Paramahamsas can understand it.
But everyone else is also benefited by reading it. So in the same way, like maybe Jiva Goswami addresses his book as for those who only desire, basically, like maybe he says the same thing, like for those
okay.
who only desire Krishna, but at the same time, a lot of people by reading it and understanding it for this philosophy, they also get purified, just like the gate of Bhagavatam.
Vyasadeva, at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, doesn't say this Bhagavatam can be understood properly by the Paramahamsas and everyone else can go to hell. He doesn't say that. He doesn't curse everybody else. But here, Jiva Goswami says, everybody else I curse. So I don't see how you can include everybody else and also curse them. I think what we have to do is understand this exclusive desire is to worship Krishna's lotus feet. Somehow we have to understand that in a broader sense. Because everybody else who's not under that category is cursed. But that would mean I'm going to go to hell because I read the book.
Yes,
ma'am. I lost my file, so I have to get up again.
Main in the translation.
Which one?
The word main in the Russian and the English.
Yeah, notice this.
So I just wondered where that word came from.
Let's try to trace that. It's hard for me to remember. You notice I translated whose main desire? I remember now. Baladev Vijibhushan. Let's read the commentary. I'm almost sure I mentioned it there.
Miss Nectar of Devotion, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he specifically mentions Alabhirut Anyabhilashita, so that suffix it is supposed to mean
that's similar,
continuous
similar.
Kind of desire
but here
motive. But desire is.
Here the word is Abhilasha straight without the ita at the end.
Right, that's why main is a bit.
It sounds more strict.
More strict, that's right.
But then we're left with most of our devotees being cursed for having stuck their nose in the book. And we're going to publish it and encourage everyone else to go to hell. Actually, it wasn't Baladeva Vidyabhushan, it was Sarvasambhadani. Jiva Goswami himself says, says that. Let's read the commentary. It's there. The answer is there. Hold on a second. Yeah, okay. Let's read the commentary. I think we're going to see the answer. Come on, come on, come on. What happened to it? Okay. Commentary. Let me read the translation again. Only one whose main desire... I didn't say only, I said main desire... is to worship the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, should read this book. Everyone else I warn off with my curse. Commentary. Sri Jiva Goswami, the answer is only at the end, so be patient. Sri Jiva Goswami does not intend his Bhagavat Sandarbha with a long A, means all six Sandarbhas. Sri Jiva Goswami does not intend his Bhagavad Sandarbha to be polemic. What's polemic? Anybody not know what polemic is? Don't know. Okay. Anybody know who can explain it? Sarvagipa, what's polemic? Subject of discussions. I think, no, that's too broad. Yeah, it's not anything that gets discussed as polemic. Yeah, when you have debate, when you're defeating other people's ideas, that's polemic. When you're saying that someone else said something but he's wrong, that's polemic. If you just present your idea and don't criticize anybody else's idea, that's not polemic. When you start attacking other people's ideas, then you're being polemic. Okay? A book that's polemic includes defeat of other people's ideas. Well, says here, Sri Jiva Goswami does not intend his Bhagavad Sandarbha to be polemic. There's places where it gets a bit polemic. He says, I'm not going to deal with the Mayavad explanation. Everybody knows it already. And then in the middle of the Tattva Sandarbha, he does get into it for a while. But the rest of the book, he doesn't very much deal with Mayavad here and there. But this book is not, Sandarbha is not mainly an attack on the Mayavadis. That's done elsewhere. So maybe some polemic in the Sandarbhas, but it's not basically a polemic, argumentative book. It's meant to reveal the message of the Bhagavatam. Those who have got opposing opinions about who's God and what you should do with your life, they shouldn't get involved in this book anyway. This book is not for arguing with people with other ideas. It's for devotees who've already decided that their life should belong to Krishna. Those people you don't have to argue with in that way. The devotees have already made up their mind. Sri Jiva Goswami does not intend his Bhagavad Sandarbha to be polemic. Instead, his purpose is to explain Srimad Bhagavatam, a scripture that must be trusted in order to be correctly understood. In only a few places will he confront opposing opinions, such as later in Sri Tattva Sandarbha when he discusses Shankara's Advaita Vad. Therefore, he bluntly advises... Therefore, he bluntly advises the argumentative that this book is not for them. So the people he's mainly trying to ward off are those who are not going to agree with what the Bhagavatam says. For them, they have no, you know, they should not look at the Sandarbhas. In fact, better that they read no further. critical speculators who reject the opinions of saintly authorities like Dwaipayana Vyas and Sridhar Swami risk creating unfortunate karmic reactions for themselves. Or at least, they fail to understand the sublime message of Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, they may be committing aparads against great authorities. And even if they avoid that, they're not going to get any good out of it. They're not going to understand what the Bhagavatam is talking about. Sri Jiva may seem unkind in cursing some of his readers, but in fact he is sincerely concerned for their spiritual development. A pure Vaishnava advances everyone's welfare by whatever he does, even by condemning offenders. The Dharma Shastras state that a government's punishment of a criminal relieves him of much of the sinful reactions he otherwise would have suffered in future lives. Similarly, the curse of a compassionate Vaishnava benefits the offender in unforeseen ways. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes how Narada Muni cursed the two demigods, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, for standing naked in front of him. Narada declared that they would have to take birth on earth in Vraja as trees in the yard of Nanda Maharaj. As a result, however, after some years, those demigods achieved perfection when baby Krishna uprooted them and granted them pure devotional service. Practicing Vaishnavas should be aware, however, that until they become advanced in devotional humility, it is best they not indulge in the brahminical prerogative of casting curses. A devotee of the Lord does not see any person as his enemy.
Oh, Krishna.
Okay, hold on a second. A devotee of the Lord does not see any person as his enemy. What to speak of trying to harm anyone out of vengeance? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught a devotional attitude of complete tolerance and humility. Trinadapi sanichena tadorapi sahishnuna amanina manadina kirtaniyak sadaharihi. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Well-intentioned non-Vaishnav readers may rightfully ask, these are well-intentioned non-devotees, may rightfully ask what they are to do now that they have been categorized as offenders and told not to continue reading. They may also ask, why publish this translation of the Sandarbhas at all? What to speak of, make it widely available? The simple answer to the second question is that our spiritual master, Hare Krishna, Sorry, hold on a second. Okay. Okay, question, why publish this translation of the Sandarbhas at all? What to speak of make it widely available? The simple answer to the second question, why make it widely available, is that our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, asked for it. Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, told him directly that to publish the great works of standard Vaishnava acharyas is the most effective way to increase God consciousness in this confused age. Nowadays, the world is filled with lavishly funded propaganda for the purchase and consumption of material things, in the face of which only the most vigorous counter-advertisement for things of spiritual value will even be noticed. When Lord Chaitanya was present on this planet, he organized his followers to perform Sankirtana publicly, singing and dancing on the city streets in glorification of God. Unfortunately, 500 years later, many people are unaware of the sacred history of Sankirtana. Such uninformed people view chanting on the streets as foolish. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told Srila Prabhupada that a kirtan party playing kartals and mridanga drums on a street corner may be heard for one or two blocks, but the printing press is the big mridanga, since it can be heard all over the world. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to make publishing and distributing Krishna conscious literature their first priority, even at the risk of sometimes committing the offense of preaching the glories of the Lord to the faithless. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna advised Arjuna, Idam te natapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana nacha shushushave vachyam nacha mam abhyasuyasi. There must be a mistake here. I have nacha shushushave, which shouldn't be spoken to someone who wants to hear. It must be ashushave, right? Can you check it? I think we have a mistake. And this is edited manuscript about to be published. I think that's a mistake. This confidential knowledge, Krishna says, should not be explained to those who are not austere, or devoted, or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. It's Ashur-Shave, right? Yeah, okay, I have it wrong here. Krishna's saying, we're going to publish this. We're not going to do it. We caught it, but we almost published it with Krishna saying, don't speak the Bhagavad Gita to someone who wants to hear it. In spite of this is how hard it is to get a manuscript exactly right. There's always something that slips through. In spite of this, Srila Prabhupada chose to present Bhagavad Gita as it is, aimed at a general audience, and had his disciples print and sell millions of copies. After Krishna said, don't give this to people who don't want to hear it, who are faithless, who are not devotees, Prabhupada contradicted that. He had it published in millions of copies and sent his disciples out to give it to everybody. Srila Prabhupada commented in this regard that the Vaishnavacharyas, representatives of the Supreme Lord, sometimes show even more mercy than the Lord himself. Now I quote Prabhupada from the Bhagavad Gita. Men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness, and therefore Lord Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. But the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord himself, the Lord, because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try to engage them in the acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. That's Bhagavad Gita, purport to verse 329. And in another purport, Srila Prabhupada comments, this is 1871 purport, the Lord explicitly forbade the Gita's being spoken to those who are envious of the Lord. In other words, Bhagavad Gita is for the devotees only. But it so happens that sometimes the devotee of the Lord will hold open class, and in that class, not all the students are expected to be devotees. Why do such persons hold open class? It is explained here that although everyone is not a devotee, still there are many men. There are many men who are not envious of Krishna. Simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita, even a person who does not try to be a pure devotee attains the result of righteous activities. So our humble... Now, this is back to me. I'm speaking now. So our humble request to readers who do not consider themselves Vaishnavas is to approach this book with respect for its author and the authorities he cites. Let the book speak for itself. By carefully studying Sri Jiva Goswami's arguments, you will find them reasonable, consistent, and illuminating. Wow, it's missing. The statement from Sarvasambhadani we've deleted. Okay, I'm almost sure. You have it here? Can I see it? That was a mistake to delete that. Yeah. Sri Jiva Goswami comments in his in the Sarvasambhadani, Ya iti eka mukya etad likanam. In the verse beginning yaha, this verse, only means main. And this means this compilation. The strict definition of eka are one and only. But here Srila Jiva indicates that what he means to say is more liberal. If only those with exclusive devotion were eligible to read this book, countless sincere aspirants to pure devotion would be excluded. So Jiva Goswami himself in the Sarvasambhadani says the eka here, eka abhilashavan, means mainly or primarily. You can have some a little bit of other desires, not too much. Okay, any questions, comments? You can take a minute. Okay, if not, we'll stop here. Yes? Yes.
So, there was a point about that this book is not polemic, but we see that Srimad Bhagavatam is actually a natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra, and Vedanta Sutra is many places it defeats and completely smashes the other schools of thoughts. So
what does Bhagavad Gita?
Vedanta Sutra.
Vedanta Sutra, yes.
So Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a natural commentary on the Vedanta, at many places it also speaks about and refutes the other ideas of other schools of thought.
Yes.
So Bhagavad Sandarbha being a systematic study on Bhagavatam would be explaining even those aspects of refutals and properly establishing the Siddhanta. So in that sense, how we can say it's not polemic?
Well, it's not primarily polemic. There are some polemics in the Sandarbhas. There are some polemics in the Bhagavatam. You could argue whether the Bhagavatam is prominently polemic or not. That we could, you know, different opinions about that maybe. You know, as the Bhagavatam, well, part of the Bhagavatam is to defeat wrong ideas. Not so much. It's mostly talking to devotees, assuming that the readers basically agree. There are, elimination of wrong ideas, but the Bhagavatam is not speaking to opponents. So the Bhagavatam really isn't that much polemic. But there may be some polemics, some defeating of wrong ideas. See, it's a different thing when you're arguing with someone who has the wrong idea. Then you have to get into a whole debate. When you're just explaining to someone who basically agrees with you, but you just want to explain the wrong idea to him, that's a different thing. That's not really polemics. You're not arguing with your student. You're just explaining. Okay? Polemic is when you really get into a fight with somebody. The Bhagavatam is not... We don't see much polemics of that sort in the Bhagavatam. And the Sandarbhas, we don't see much. There can be some, but it's not prominent.
So, is it not that the adhikari for Bhagavatam is can be same as the adhikaris for the Bhagavad Sandarbha? If not, why...
Yes, I guess you could say yes, that you could define who's fit to read the Bhagavatam in the same way. Those who just don't have faith in Krishna, who just want to propose some other idea, what's the use of them reading Bhagavatam? Let them read the Bhagavad Gita first and become convinced, and then they can read the Bhagavatam.
I just found a very interesting letter by Srila Prabhupada written in 1972 to a few of his disciples, and he says, regarding the teacher, Miss Wilson, some teacher, Miss Wilson, you may engage her in translating if she can read Bengali type. She can try Jiva Goswami Sandarbhas. That will be a great contribution.
Miss Wilson.
She was supposed to... Not even a devotee, not
okay,
even
I don't think she ever actually did it, though.
What, do you know that person? That ends?
No, I don't know Mr. Wilson.
She never did, but he was ready for Miss Wilson.
Anyway, I guess he had hopes of making her a devotee, too.
Yes, in other words, Prabhupada was...
Maybe she became a devotee. Who is she? I don't know.
Looks like he was even more liberal than Jiva Goswami in deciding who has access to not just reading, but translating.
Translate. Yes,
sir. Is it proper if we understand that such restrictions given that such a restriction given is it proper to understand that such a restriction given is for a different level of devotees? Because in the beginning, when we hear about of all these Siddhanta, and when we are convinced ourselves to some extent, then there is some kind of excitation. There is some kind of excited. Feeling. They're excited about it.
Excited?
Just excited about it. And they just want, for their own justification, to feel justified themselves doing it, they go around telling people that you should not be doing that. neophytes going around telling people that you shouldn't do that. But if they speak the same things amongst devotees, that will nurture their devotion also. But if they speak it amongst materialists, then it will destroy their devotion if they speak.
Yes.
Whereas with Mahabhagavats who are speaking it just for the benefit of others, if they speak, then they have got a non-manipulative kind of a disposition. So, just to benefit others.
Yes.
So maybe, is it proper to understand that this restriction really doesn't apply to Mahabhagavats when they are speaking just for the benefit of others?
Doesn't it apply to who?
This prohibition, it doesn't apply to Mahabhagavats if they are speaking just to benefit others rather than speaking just to disturb others and to justify themselves, to have a justification for themselves about what they're doing.
Yes. I don't think it's Mahabhagavat, he can do things that are ordinarily impossible. He can transcend the prohibition of Mahabhagavat. He can convert people that Madhyamadikaris wouldn't be able to convert. I think it's addressed to Madhyamadikaris, to serious devotees, but who don't have infinite potency to convert everybody and anyone. Avoid the envious, in general, is the injunction. So don't go preaching Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam to people who are envious. That's what Krishna says. I would say that's addressed mainly to the Majjhima Bhaktas. The ones who are preaching, they should be a bit discriminating in who they preach to, what they preach to whom, unless they're Mahabhagavats. If they're Mahabhagavats, then they can try anything.
Okay.
Vishnu
Kantapur. That even Sandarbhas are being taken up as departments in different universities in the West. So those professors and students who are studying, what will be their...
I've heard this. You know, there's a whole department in Banaras Hindu University dedicated... I never saw that department. I don't think it exists. I don't know of anybody... I know... that there have been two doctoral theses published in the last 70 years on Jiva Goswami Sandarbhas. Two PhD, did their thesis. But where are they actually teaching a course? Anywhere in the world on the Sandarbhas, in any university. Is there actually one? Devotees say it out of enthusiasm, but is it actually true?
Devotee, Rukmini Krishna or someone in the US, when he did his thesis on this.
Writing a thesis, but who reads it? You know, who reads theses? But actually teaching a course or having a whole department, I don't think there's any course on Jiva Goswami in any university in the world. I don't think we have that problem because we don't have any examples of it. You know, what's going to happen to the people, the faithless people who study Jiva Goswami in the university? I don't think anybody's teaching it. Maybe someone wrote a PhD and his professors discussed it with him, but then it was forgotten. Nobody's actually taking a course on it.
So can we expect such things in the future, like in universities?
Yes.
Devotees who have trained up can teach, like for example in the Birla Institute of Technology and Science now, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is being taught by devotees from Vrindavan temple. They go there and teach and
sure.
Like that.
Yes. Or the devotees can give guidance and others can teach also. Under the guidance of devotees, with the help of devotees, even the non-devotee professors may be able to teach something. That's okay. But the devotees should have a strong presence. The experts, the devotees who are the real experts on Bhagavatam should always be available for consultation, even if other people get involved. Nityanandapur? No?
You were saying that you don't know any other institution in the world having a course on Sanasa.
I don't know of.
I was just saying that our school could be the first one.
Okay, well, in Radha Desh. In Belgium, they're studying maybe in some ISKCON school, but any regular institution. Yeah, we can claim we're the first. But we're not a real university. Yes? Satyanarayana is teaching. Devotees are teaching, but in the regular world.
We can see that, for example, Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book, he presented so many confidential pastimes, especially Rasa Lila, but he gave his commentary so that people in general could understand them properly, and he asked his devotee to distribute very widely this book, although yes. It's very confidential. Yes. So in the same way, maybe the subject of Tattva Sandarbha or Shas Sandarbha is maybe very confidential, but if you have proper commentaries by Vaishnava, so that it can be understood properly, we can distribute it without any restrictions,
okay.
even to envious people.
We're working on that. What I try to do in the Tattva Sandarbha is make it usable by a more general audience, the first Sandarbha. The other Sandarbhas after that, I aim just at devotees. I figure the non-devotees won't go beyond the Tattva Sandarbha generally. So I write, you know, different audiences. But I try to be careful in the Tattva Sandarbha that, you know, we can explain things so that even non-devotees might be able to understand. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Jiva Goswami, Sri Tattva Sandarbha Ki Jai.